26 through 30. And I want to talk to us about a better place. We started a series last week about the better place, and I want us to understand that what we do together is really, really important. It really does matter what we do together, and it also really, really matters what we learn together as well. So we started this series, and the better place is not only about being together in fellowship, but it's also about discipleship. And those are the two focal points that we're going to hit on briefly this morning. So we're here celebrating the Lord's Supper. Wonderful service already. I'm looking forward to participating in the elements of the meal together with everyone today. And there's something I want us to notice about the Lord's Supper. And I can't always say that about my life, because I'm guilty of this. See, the Lord's Supper really wasn't a wasted motion. Jesus Christ took the common elements of a meal of that day, bread and fruit of the vine, and he gave this really eternal perspective of what they mean. I don't always do that. I mean, I have a lot of wasted motion in my life, you know. I really do. It seems like I'm spinning and spinning and nothing really gets done sometimes. But the fact of the matter is that when Jesus Christ instituted this, when he brought this, he took the common things and he portrayed something very, very significant. So I want to point this out to us, because I've missed it hundreds of times, and maybe you're just like me. Maybe you've missed this hundreds of times reading through this text. So let's look at verse 26 and on down, and I'm going to say a couple things as we go through these verses. And as they were eating, just a common thing, right? We're all going to do that today. Maybe you've already done it today. Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples. And he said this, "Take and eat. This is my body." Isn't that mind-blowing when you think about it? Just a simple, mundane, everyday occurrence. Jesus takes and turns it around and says, "I want you to think about this eternal thing about this." And I don't want us to look past this and not realize that he took fellowship. See, it's one thing to share things that are eternal, isn't it? I mean, we're supposed to do that. But I want you to notice something really carefully here. He just didn't do this on a whim. He had a relationship with these men. To be exact, a 3.5-year relationship. So he used that fellowship that we see right there to introduce some very powerful things. Then he continues on and says in verse 27, "Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, said, 'Drink from it, all of you.'" Everyone was to participate in it. "For this is the blood, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they sung a hymn, they went out from the Mount of Olives. Now, listen closely. He took fellowship that he had with them as an introduction to give some really significant things, and that's discipleship. And here, everyone listening, if there's only one thing you walk away with today, I want us to understand we can never underestimate the power of fellowship to introduce discipleship. That's what I see in this picture. In fact, you can leave now and you'll never you've got the whole message. But don't leave. We still got some things we're going to say. We must not underestimate that. See, I want us to consider these things. How important it is of what we do together. How we interact together. Now, I've stressed to this church over the past year that it's vitally important that we work together in gray areas. Because some of us are going to do some things. Some of us are not going to be compelled to do other things. But the fact of the matter is, we're compelled to follow Christ. And however he works certain things in our life, that's going to be okay. He's working out in our life, through our life. And that's how you get to meaningful fellowship. See, meaningful means it's implying that there's substance behind the relationship. Now, I have relationships all over the place. I really do. I go to the Y in the morning and I get on the treadmill or I'm curling some weights or doing something, and there's probably about a half a dozen to a dozen people that know me up there. But they don't really know me. They don't know that I've just come back from this or I've done that or whatever. It's just really a superficial relationship. You know, hello, how you doing, Mark? What's going on? Yeah, whatever, you know. That's superficial. What I'm talking about here is the kind of relationships that only come from a personal relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is illustrating that here very, very vividly to us. See, the fact of the matter is, if you have meaningful fellowship, you look past the superficial, don't you? You can look past the suit. You may or may not like it. And some do like it. Some don't like it. Some could care less. You can look past the different instruments. And Caleb, man, where is Caleb at? Where's he at? Man, I just appreciate how the Lord uses you up here. Man, that's cool. That's great. You know? I mean, he's expressive. Some people aren't so expressive. Don't let it get under your skin if you're not so expressive, because he's expressive. I'm an expressive person. I got, you know, I could do the jig sometimes when all this stuff's going on up here. I mean, it's wonderful. We're bringing praise and honor to the God of heaven, who's seen fit to come down and dwell amongst us that we might be forgiven of our sin, because he was made sin for us. That's pretty significant. That's fellowship. You know, you just got to love it when you think about this. Here's just some basic things. We need to understand, everyone in this room, we're compelled to serve together, we're compelled to be together, and to march on ahead together. So where does that all begin at? Well, it begins and ends with Christ. See, the basis of our relationship is on and in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we're all tied together. That's how these guys were tied together. They were there because of Jesus. Can we just be truthful? I'm not here for a paycheck. I'm not. Matt's not here for a paycheck. Any other staff's not here for a paycheck. We're here because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's called and compelled us here. And that's the beginning, and that is the end of our relationship. Right there. That ties it all together. Another thing is that we see there are common experiences that these guys had. Think about what went on there. Paul said this in one of his epistles. He said, I know how to have. I know how to have not. He said, I know whatever state I'm in to have joy, to know that grace abounds. And these guys, when Jesus was instituting this here, he had a 3.5-year relationship, as I already said, with them. And they had common experiences. Now, let's be upfront, folks. We've all had common experiences together. Some of them have been good. Remember when we broke ground back here? That was a good day, wasn't it? It really was. Remember when somebody in business meeting got all sideways and said, you know what, I don't think we ought to build it, and y'all applauded because I said something else, and that was the end of that? That's a good day. But there's bad days. Remember what happened with the sewer? That wasn't so good, was it? That wasn't a happy day. But we've had common experiences. And just think about it. It just ties into what happened with them. With God speaking to them directly, they had good days with him. They witnessed his mount at the Mount of Transfiguration, his transformation before their very eyes. They had seen him heal the sick. They had saw him call the dead from the grave. They witnessed his miraculous feedings. Those were all good things. But now we got to realize that there were some bad things, and there are bad things that happen. You know, when someone comes to me and they say, Pastor Mark, I've got cancer, that's not so happy day for me. I grieve for that. I'm sure that when I had my heart attack here, many of you were upset about that. We grieve when those kind of things happen. When a marriage is going on the bad side, we get upset about those things. But we take all those common experiences and we tie them together. And it makes this wonderful, meaning fellowship. Because it doesn't always come up roses, does it? Was I a little loud there? Was a little passion in that? (laughs) when we think about those things, it has this bonding effect, doesn't it? You know, I understand that there's people going through cancer right now, and these families have come together and have a common experience and are fellowshipping together. I watched the praise team as they're up here. You know, they're working together with this common bond to bring up the Lord Jesus Christ, his name, glory and honor to him. There is something we must never forget about fellowship. It needs to be meaningful, needs to be significant in our life, and it's based always. Good fellowship is always based on the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read something to you. I think I have this verse on the screen, don't I, or do I not? I probably don't. It's from 1 John, the first chapter, verse 7. Let me illustrate to you what John says about fellowship. But if we walk in the light, that means having fellowship with him, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Now stop for a moment. You cannot say you're close to God and not be close to your other brothers and sisters in Christ. It's impossible. Now, I'm being truthful because I'm telling what the Word of God says right there. You cannot have this ultimate, wonderful, lovey-dovey, I know the Lord Jesus Christ and I'm marching ahead for him, and everybody thinks that you are the worst thing that ever happened on planet Earth when it comes to the Christian church. He says this, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's a cathartic thing that comes from fellowship. Fellowship with God, fellowship with one another, his blood's applied to our life, it cleanses us from all our sin. So, that's how important fellowship is, right there. I want us to understand, as we move ahead, and I have every intention of leading this church ahead, Matt is working very diligently on our discipleship. It's wonderful to come here on Wednesday nights and see all the men that are in this different discipleship class. The ladies were whipping us for a long time. Now we're making a big run to the end here to be at least to where the gals are on some of this stuff. These are all good things. These things need to happen for us to get to that better place. So let's talk about meaningful discipleship, okay? And we'll be short and brief here in this finale. Now, I'm sure that meaningful fellowship has a lot to do with meaningful discipleship. And from where I'm at, I really don't understand how you cannot have one without the other. If we learn and learn and learn, and we never put it in any kind of practical application, or we're never able to come along somebody else and to hold their hand and to pray with them and to love on them and to help them through a situation, I'm not understanding what the value of that kind of discipleship is. People can learn a myriad of things from the Bible and never, ever apply them in life. That makes no sense to me. When God called me to this church, I shared with the committee and I shared with this church that one of the thrust of the ministry that I believe that the Lord has laid upon my heart here is to teach those things which become sound doctrine. Titus, the second chapter, verse 1. And that's what we have intended to do. With the help of so many here, so many of our teachers, that's what we will continue to do. We're going to teach those things which become sound doctrine. To me, that verse just simply illustrates it's important what we learn is applied to life. That means when you go out from here, when this message comes to your mind, hopefully there's going to be something that you'll be able to use from it, something you'll be able to apply to it in your life. Or, you know, that's what I'm trying to say today. Discipleship, and I've got this up here, is anything that causes what is believed in the heart to have a demonstrable consequence in our daily life. Eugene Peterson said that. I think that's a wonderful illustration of what discipleship is. Now let's stop for a moment. A lot of us have been to college, right? You know, I've got so much school that I'll never go back. Can't afford it. There were classes that I took that absolutely were a waste of time. Now, going back to our text here, and I see some of our college students smiling and laughing. Some of the practical theology stuff that I had, and there was nothing practical about it. You know, it really wasn't. But going back to what we said in the text, Jesus Christ, he didn't waste the moment here. He took something that was very common, very everyday kind of thing, and he gave eternal significance to it. Now, I know we're not Jesus Christ, but let me challenge us all. Let's watch our wasted moments in life. Don't take the classes that aren't going to amount to anything. As a church family, Matt, challenge to you as our pastor of education. We want to make sure that what we're doing, and I know you do a great job with this, but you're going to hear it from me today. The challenge to him, the challenge to all of us. We don't want to do things that are wasteful, unproductive, and not going to give that practical application in life. Amen? Isn't that important? Because if we get together, who knows? This may be the last time we're all together like this. I may not be here next week. You may not be here next week. The Lord may call any of us out of here. We don't know that. He may return for his bride. That very well could happen. So let's not waste moments. Let's not waste energy on unneeded things in our life. So what does it mean here at this church? Well, it means in large settings such as we have here today. We take our fellowship. We've worshiped together. We've sung together. We're going to learn some meaningful things. We're going to learn meaningful discipleship. That means as we have fleshed out over the past several years our small group stuff that's going on, you know, we're going to continue to do that. Pray for our education department side of things, because the reality is we're almost out of space. We really are out of space. Is that correct to say that, Matt? We really, isn't that? And hey, let's praise the Lord for that, by the way. Amen? I mean, that's a wonderful thing. That does just not happen, folks. You've got the purpose in your heart. Meaningful fellowship leads to meaningful discipleship. So our small group settings. So I think in some ways we've gotten it wrong over the years. This church is pretty good at coming and hearing, and that's okay. I mean, I think there's a component to that in what we do. But I want you to turn your Bibles with me in the final closing out of this message here this morning. Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 18 through 20. Here's what it says. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Now, that's a dead guy who's now a live guy right before their eyes, who had a 3.5-year relationship with these men, saying, "Look, God's given me this authority. I got some significant things I'm going to share with you." He's using his fellowship with them, meaningful fellowship, to challenge them. And look what he challenges them to do in verse 19. Go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Just not the people down the street, not the people you work with. You're to do that, but we're to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So there we go. Here's what I'm doing today. We're joined together for communion. It's fellowship. We're going to look at the bread. We're going to look at the fruit of the vine, the grape juice we have. We're going to talk about those things just briefly here this morning in the communion service. But I'm going to use that fellowship to challenge us to teach others, to bring others into the kingdom. That's exactly what he's challenging us to do. It's an amazing thing when you think about it. You know, out of these relationships, God births other relationships. We're commanded to make disciples. And I want to be clear this morning. God never, he never gives a command that he doesn't always equip us to do. So there's no excuses. No excuses to say, well, you know, I I'm bashful. Well, get with another bashful person and you two be bashful together and you can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Amen? Huh? Right? You know? But you do that. All right. Now, did you all hear me this morning? All right. More importantly, did you get something from what we said this morning? All right. Scott, I'm going to ask you to come at this time, would you please? So my friend Scott does a lot around here, and we're grateful for him. He has recently went through some trauma. Do we have a mic that one of these? I'll give you one here. Scott wanted to share a couple things this morning. Number four. Oh, you got him. All right.
Number one, apparently you didn't get my message this morning. I want to do it next week when Drew was here, but that's okay.
Well, we'll tape it.
That's okay. I just wanted to thank the church family so very much from the bottom of my heart, my family's heart. I can't name them all, but everybody knows who it was. That was the most special thing that happened to us and our family. It was a blessing with my father dying, because he didn't have to go through any more pain or misery or be embarrassed. And the good Lord blessed us. And I'm speaking this from my heart, because I thought I was doing this next week. But this church has meant so much to our family. And I know I'm not one of these guys that go around and hug everybody and all that, but the elderly that did the kitchen, I would like for everybody to clap for them, because those people meant so much to our family. I kind of like this. I'm going to start being a preacher. Yeah. But I really do. I thank everybody. This is me and my wife's been married, got married here. We've been baptized here. Both my boys have been baptized here, and this church means everything to us and the people in it. Thank you very much.
Just hold on for a second. He came in Friday, and he said, I didn't turn my phone on until just a few minutes ago, so I didn't get your message. I apologize about that. But he came in, and he said, you know, Friday, I started to shake his hand, and he said, no, bring it on in here. He's hugging me like this. So we were hugging, and Matt was there too as well. But out of this fellowship, you know, has been birthed discipleship, because you're in men's class now. And just say for a moment to the guys here what the last men's class meant to you, if I can ask you to do that.
Well, that was the first session. The second session, I haven't been going to, because I referee high school wrestling, and a lot of my matches are on Wednesday nights and stuff like that, and I didn't want to commit to it. I did miss a Reds game, because I committed.
You didn't miss much.
Well, no, that game was dying to seats, you know. But I committed to it, and I really had a lot of fun in the men's class. Like I said, there's a lot of good guys in there, and it was a lot of fun.
Amen. All right. So, guys, listen to me. Thank you, Scott. God bless. Appreciate you. Guys, listen to me. And pass this off back to Jim as we gather here. Listen to me. It's important, you know, about our fellowship, you know, out of its birth, discipleship. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Let's consider ourselves. We'll go into the communion service. So I ask our deacons to come at this time. And you know what I forgot to do? Let's just stop for a moment. Guys, come on up and take a seat. But let's have a word of prayer. Okay? During this time, we always try to go back and to just recenter ourselves. Remember what we're here about. We're here about the Lord Jesus Christ, what he has done for us. We have open communion at this service, at this church. And what that means is this: if you have been born again, you're saved, part of Christ, you've been scripturally baptized, we invite you to participate in this. It's not closed to non-members. If you are part of the body of Christ, wherever that would be, whatever that would mean, then we invite you to participate with us this morning as well. And so during this invitation time, as Matt begins to play softly, let's just take a few moments of silence, and that'll lead us in a corporate prayer. Let's reflect upon our fellowship and how communion illustrates that. And let's reflect upon discipleship. Think about some of the happy times and meaningful times you've had in your life. Maybe in a Sunday school class, maybe in a small group, maybe with one-on-one, where the Lord revealed some significant truth to you. Maybe how you were able to make it through a tough situation. There's people here that life's a little different for them now because a loved one's not with them. There's people, things are a little bit different now because they've got a diagnosis of cancer or anything that you can think about. Just take and reflect as we silently pray for a few moments this morning. Father, again, as we come before your throne, as Isaiah looked and saw, you were high and lifted up, and the temple could not contain all that you are. And Father, we know that even in this sanctuary today, it can no way contain who you are. We get glimpses, we get very vivid pictures, but Lord, it's just not totally who you are. You're awesome, you're to be praised, you cared enough for us to provide for us the means of escaping hell. That's through your Son, Christ Jesus, and we praise you for that. Lord, we thank you that we have fellowship with you. And out of that fellowship with you, we have meaningful fellowship with one another. Fellowship that is sweet, is earnest, is Christ-like. We have fun together. We do things together. And these things have significance in our life. And Lord, we thank you that out of those relationships, teaching comes, learning comes, discipleship comes. We learn more of you. We learn to be more like you, to be a truer reflection of who Jesus Christ is. And we praise you for that. We pray that in the days that are ahead, they will go closer to you. We'll grow closer to one another. And our knowledge and application of what we learn will increase. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11, chapter, verses 23 through 26, Paul introduces some truths because of his relationship with the people. And as we said earlier, we say again, meaningful fellowship, meaningful discipleship. Paul uses these words, "For what I received from the Lord, I also delivered to you." He had to have a relationship with them to share that, didn't he? Now, he's out of that relationship. He's saying this. The Lord Jesus, on the same night, he took bread. Same night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This, as often as you do, or as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So let's distribute the bread, fellas. Thank you.
reading from Isaiah 53. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and he hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was buried for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Let's pray. Father, you are God, a God who is willing to become flesh, come to this earth and live a perfect life. This bread represents the body that was flesh, how it was beaten, how it was whipped. Forgive us, Father. Forgive me. I'm the man in the scripture. A body that was perfect, or became perfect, through crucifixion, it rose again. And as we remember the pain and the beating that the body had taken, let us remember that the body was resurrected. It's because of that that we have this fellowship. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Heard Brian read from Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, and just that common element of a meal, piece of bread, used to illustrate the eternal, one of the eternal truths of the gospel. For us to have life, there has to be punishment for sin. And so, it tells us here, when he had given thanks, and he broke it, and said, and this is where you all repeat, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
Hebrews 9, 12 through 14, God's word says, "Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having attained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Father, as we continue, we just can't thank you enough for sending your Son Jesus to die for us in our place, Lord, the perfect sacrifice. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Lord, just thank you so much that you loved us enough to send your Son and that we can partake of this free gift, that our sins can be forgiven and we can be restored in full fellowship with you and live with you eternally, Lord. Just thank you so much. Praise you so much for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Brother David, reading from Hebrews, the 9th chapter. And, we were a little short this morning, and I thought I was going to have to pray as the miracle over the loaves and fishes, but the Lord provided. And, we don't want to make light of that, but remember what we said, what we illustrated. You know, this was just a common, everyday meal that they were having. You used the elements, so most of us know what it's like to run a little short occasionally on meals. So I think it just goes to show the wonderful humanity that is betrayed, not only in the Lord's Supper, but God uses men who are, and women for that matter, they are imperfect, to portray the eternal gospel. So here we go. "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'My cup.'" The 14th chapter, verse 26, they concluded that first observation of the Lord's Supper with this: "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." So today, as we have concluded this service, we focused on meaningful fellowship, meaningful discipleship. Let's all stand. Let's go out proclaiming, singing the Lord Jesus Christ, all the great things he has done for us.
Sing with us. "Oh, come,
let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
For he
all that we might ask or think, to him be the glory in his church through Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Go in peace.